You have your Bibles, turn to Gospel of Mark. Now, I didn't bring my preaching glasses. I brought my reading glasses. So I'm going to pull one of them, Brother Thomas. I might be looking down my nose at you. I've got bifocals that are reading on the bottom and clear on the top when I preach. And I didn't know I was going to be preaching, but I always try to be prepared. And the Lord laid on my heart a few weeks ago a series of messages on Sunday morning. I don't usually do that. A lot of Wednesday nights, Sunday nights I do, but on the fullness of the gospel. And a lot of times we see those various terms used for the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of your salvation. And a lot of times people think those are different gospels. No, those are just descriptions of the one gospel in various shades and various aspects of it. The core, without anything else that wouldn't matter, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what's necessary. That's the core. That's the heart of the gospel. But don't ever get confused. The gospel's good news. And I want to tell you, if you're going to see the fullness of the gospel, you're going to have to look more broadly at just simply the core of it, the death, burial. If you're going to look at the gospel, you're going to have to go all the way back in the eternity past in the counsels of God, in His heart and His mind, where God had a plan. That's where the gospel started. That's where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit worked out the gospel plan that He put in motion when He began this world, when He started this world. And we also know, to those who have believed, it is the gospel of our salvation. If you're going to understand the fullness of the gospel, you're going to have to understand the depravity of man. You'll never understand the fullness of the gospel if you don't first recognize your own need of the gospel. Last week I preached on the grace of God in the gospel. The gospel is a message of grace. It's not earned, it's not deserved. You'll never understand the gospel if you don't understand that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And those things are not of us, they're a gift of God. But here is a message that a lot of times when I say, what am I going to do? Brother Tom, it's always a good time to preach the gospel. So I'm going to preach the gospel, at least aspects of that gospel. And a lot of times church folks think, well, here, you know, we're going to hear the gospel again. I know the gospel. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But none of us here could say that we know the gospel well enough. And if we do know it well enough, at least the saints can rejoice in the message of the gospel. We often think of the gospel as being only for the lost soul. I want to tell you, you read through your Bible, your New Testament, and you'll find out if there's anything God wants you to remember, it's the gospel and the effect that it had on you as a child of God. The reason a lot of people are not as faithful as they should be is because they have forgotten the gospel of their salvation, of what great work, great grace God has brought to them through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. If they did, this place would be full tonight, it'd be full Sunday morning, it'd be full Sunday night. That's just the simple truth of the matter. We need to keep the gospel, not just here, but right here, of what God has done for us. Mark chapter 16 verse 14 says, after He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I always feel obligated to clarify that verse whenever I'm preaching, especially since so much want to corrupt it and try to include baptism into salvation. Baptism means nothing without salvation. The reality of it is that if anybody should understand that, we should as Baptists. And if you'll notice that, this verse does not support baptismal regeneration or baptismal new birth. In fact, it makes it very clear that baptism without the new birth means nothing. The baptism is just a picture of what's truly happened to you in your heart when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You died with Him and you've been raised again in newness of life. And that's what this ordinance reveals. It don't mean anything if you're not saved. If you notice that verse 11 or verse 16, it makes that very clear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, doesn't say anything about baptism, does it? Baptism don't even come into play there. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't matter if you've been baptized 15 times. If you've not believed, you shall be damned. What is the gospel? Well, as we look at these verses, and I try to make this clear, especially because of the confusion over this, it is the gospel that God uses in the salvation of a soul. That's it. Nothing else. That is the means, that is the design that God has purposed to save any and every lost soul He's ever saved. Nobody has ever been saved without believing the gospel. The Apostle Paul, next to the Lord Himself, not just the greatest preacher in the New Testament, but probably the greatest theologian for sure in the New Testament. I believe he wrote 14 books. I believe he wrote Hebrews, so we can debate that. But nevertheless, I believe he did. But I want you to notice what Paul says about this gospel. As I said, if anybody, if you look over at Romans chapter 1, Paul said in verse 16, and this is easy to remember, these two passages. I've used this so many times when trying to minister to folks that have been misled about baptism. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," that's singular, it's nothing else, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's the way of saying to everybody. No matter what gender, what nationality, it don't matter what religion, there's only one message of salvation that God uses, and it is the powerful means of the gospel. Powerful because God made it so. So that's what saves. Now look what Paul says. If anybody knew anything about baptism, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we just seen what he said the power of God unto salvation is. It's the gospel. And he clarifies here. He says in verse 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Wait a minute, Paul. You mean you don't care about people being saved? No, I didn't say that. Because baptism don't save. He says, "But to preach the gospel." Very clearly, baptism is not the gospel, nor is it any part of the gospel. "To preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, you can argue about water baptism all you want. I'm going to go with Paul. In fact, I know Paul's words were the inspired word of God. Now, the message of the gospel is for everybody here tonight, saint and lost sinner alike. And I have no doubt that some here tonight are probably lost. Some may think they're saved and they're not. Others may know that they're not saved. But I assure you, if you ever will be saved, it will be by the gospel of God. You see, the saints might always remember what God in His glorious power and grace has done for us through the gospel. And not just what He has done, but Brother Tom, what He's doing right now through the gospel in my life. He's still changing me. He's still taking me along on this journey. I'm learning better to walk with Him. I'm learning about Him more fully. I'm learning of His grace. And it all began with the gospel. Not only that, but I assure you, any good thing that God does in your life, even delivering you into His own presence, will only be because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Keep that in mind. I pray that others might, by that same grace, hear and know tonight. Come to God. Come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the gospel of His death, burial, and resurrection. The truth, then, is everyone here tonight needs the gospel. The truth also is, how will anyone know what the gospel really is if we don't preach it, if we don't teach it, if we don't study it, and if we don't share it? How will anyone ever know what the gospel is? So what is the gospel? Well, the word translated, and I'm not going to go into Greek and all that, but 95 times in the New Testament, it is exclusively used. And that word means the same thing every time it's used. It's good news. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. Everybody needs good news. Everybody loves to receive good news. I don't know anybody in their right mind likes don't like to receive good news. We always like to hear an update. We always like to hear that. Well, God's got some good news. Everybody needs it. But just as importantly as the news is the source of the news. I don't have to worry about God lying to me. God said in His Word He's got some good news. And He has given us that good news. And it is the story of what God, through His Son, has done in order to save lost souls from hell. That's what the good news is. But it's important to understand, even though there's no better news and there's no better source of that news, realize that it's not my gospel. It wasn't just Paul's gospel. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of His grace. The gospel of His kingdom. One thing, I'm going to turn this. Is it all right to move this down a little bit? I think I'm kind of having to bob around some of you folks. But one thing, for one of my buddies, said, Donnie, I got some good news for you. It's quite a bit of a different situation when God said, Donnie, I got some good news for you. I got some good news for you. It's glorious, Donnie. I'm going to tell you, probably not going to believe it. I can tell you the day the Lord saved me. I got out in the world. I was saved at 13, but I got out in the world. But our church had an open Bible up in the peak of the baptismal pool. It was a church, it was a little bit higher, but it was an open Bible. And all it said in it was, "Ye must be born again." My mom and dad took me to church probably since I was 2 weeks old. My grandparents and family were all saved. And I'd heard the gospel, 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 but I'd never heard the gospel. And one day at 13 years old, standing with all the boys on the back row of the church, not thinking I was paying any attention, guess what? That day God come to me. Brother Tom, I heard the gospel. And I knew it was the gospel to me. And God spoke to my heart. And that day I was saved. I couldn't wait till church was over. Brother Hensley got up and he started an invitation. And all I wanted him to do was stop. I just want to tell somebody God saved me. I just wanted to tell them that I understood for the first time in my life what the gospel truly was. Essentially, basically, the gospel is a message from God that He, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has provided a way for lost mankind to be saved. There's another thing funny, not ha-ha funny, but kind of strange, funny thing about news. It's really only good when you contrast it with bad. Somebody calls with some news and says, you know, Donnie, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay your house off. Well, that might sound like good news, but what if my house was paid off? It's not, but what if it was? Well, that wouldn't be especially good news then. Well, it'd be nice news, you know. God don't have nice news. God has good news. And that's because all mankind is in the same condition when God calls and brings the story and the message of the gospel to them. Everybody needs it. Every lost soul needs it. Before it's good news, you have to recognize some bad news, and I've got even worse news than that for some of you. It's not just bad news, but particularly it's bad news about you. It'd be like going to the doctor and hearing what you didn't know when you went to the doctor. He says, you know, he comes into the room and he looks at you and he says, you know, I got some bad news for you. You got cancer. Awful thing that so many of our friends and family, I know some here, fighting with. Some of you have fought with it. But the doctor immediately looks at you and says, you know what though? I got some good news too. We found it early enough and we can eradicate it all. Well, you know what? That news about being able to wouldn't mean anything if it weren't for the bad news, right? It wouldn't be any effect to you. You wouldn't, well, what are you talking about? What's that got to do with me? The glorious news, even though just for a moment before you had no idea, now you knew that there was something going on in your life that you were not aware of, that was nigh unto death, and yet there was an intervention plan to take care of that news. You see, the bad news for all mankind. And let me tell you tonight, if you think you're saved tonight, but you've never recognized you were lost, you've never been saved. What were you saved from if you weren't lost? The reality of it is, the bad news for mankind, spiritually, because of sin, you are dead. Death in the situation we're talking about spiritually means that you are separated from God. You don't have any relationship with God, and your prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. I believe the first prayer that God hears is a repentant prayer of faith in Jesus Christ. And people can pray and say, well, I pray to God. I ask people all the time, are you saved? Well, I pray to God. I say, that's not what I ask you. Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, I've been baptized. That's not what I ask you. Are you saved? Well, I try to do the best I can. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, are you saved? People got a lot of ideas, and the reason is they don't recognize the bad news about themselves. They are not only dead in their sins, they are dead and they are dying in this world without God. They have no hope. They are helpless and hopeless and lost without God in the world. They're separated from Him. Your sin has separated you from God. Whether you recognize that or not is, if you will, the doctor tonight, I'm telling you, you've got a sin problem. It's not only killed your spirit, but it's killing you physically and will cause you eternal destruction one day. That's about the worst news somebody can get. If you don't recognize it and acknowledge it, it will kill you for eternity. Again, that means separate you from God. Why is it bad news? Well, there's a lot of reasons it's bad news. You don't have any means to correct it. That's pretty bad news. Nothing you can do. You have no ability. You have no power to change it. You are lost, dead in your sins, dying in this life, and you can't do a thing about it. You don't have the ability. You don't have the power. Sin has a payment that's due. And you don't have the means or the resources to make that payment. The wages of sin is death. And he's speaking about eternal separation from Him. That's what you owe for sin. That's what you owe unto a holy God. That's what you owe, and you can't do anything about it. Why? Because you're a sinner. You're unholy. You're defiled. If you were to try to enter into the presence of God and His holy, glorious light that He is, you'd be consumed. But I want to tell you about the mercy and grace of the God we know. You see, if you come to hear and to receive that gospel call, God's always been calling men by the gospel. That's why He tells us when we go out and preach God's, whether it's here in this pulpit, or whether we go door to door, whether we go out on the street, whether we go to a nursing home, it's always that we should go with the call of the gospel. God is calling men unto himself. And how is God calling men unto himself? He is telling men that the wages of sin is death. Recognize that. You will be eternally separated from God forever. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the gospel, my friend. That's the gospel. Jesus even said that those who would believe in him would never die, never perish. Never perish. I don't have to worry about physical death. This old body, is, if the Lord don't come back, is going to go to the grave some way, somehow, someday. And it's going to go back to ash, but yet, spiritually, I've already been, I'm as spiritually as alive tonight as I will be through all eternity. Because God has quickened my spirit. He's made me alive. How did he do that, Brother Donnie? He did that through the gospel. He did it by his death, burial, and resurrection. And his shed blood, his righteousness. He came and he washed away my sins. He washed me. The Bible says very clearly that I could not do that. I couldn't wash myself. Even though we trust in the blood, you need to remember something. Only God can wash you in it. But he's promised to do that. He's promised to do that to all who would believe. You see, you may be as many, even all. You may not know it. You may not even recognize it. But if you're lost tonight, you're in a sad, desperate state. But God has revealed the bad news of your condition before him and the truth of it, that you might know the glorious news. Glorious news. If, you know, I equate this to physical. That's how God many times equates things in the Bible so that we can understand the spiritual realm. But if I were to tell you tonight, any one of you, and I were to come to you tonight, so I've got bad news for you. You're going to die. There ain't anything I can do about it. There ain't anything anybody else can do about it. There's no way we can address it. You're just going to die. But I know somebody who can. I know somebody who can heal you. And I'm not just talking about your physical condition now. I'm talking about your spiritual condition. He'll heal your spiritual condition, and then he will change your life. You'll never be the same. For a time, I'll never be. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. You might know the glorious news, what he has provided and done for you, if you will repent. Literally, that means you need to turn from your sin. You need to give up this old world. You need to give up your ambitions. You need to give up your... You need maybe to give up your religion. You're trying to save yourself tonight. If you think being good enough, baptism, good works, or whatever, grandpa was a preacher, grandma was a saint, I don't care what that religion is, you need Christ. You need him in your life. You need a personal relationship that can only come by him taking possession of your life. Repent of your sins, placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to wash away your sins and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to take possession of your life. The Bible says that when you believe, God not only justifies you, but the Holy Spirit completes his work, and you are sealed until the day of redemption. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Praise the Lord. See, he not only saves us, he keeps us. There's not one who will ever be lost whom God has truly saved. The gospel is good news. Jesus, Paul said, came to save sinners. Say what you will. Talk about his deity. Talk about his manifestation, his incarnation. You go on and talk about all the wonderful things, but don't ever forget that Jesus ultimately came to save sinners from their sins. And the best news is God has made certain in his grace and in his mercy that Jesus will indeed save sinners. For God calls some by the gospel to not just see their sin and their eternal condemnation, their guilt before God, but to see and to believe the good news. Jesus saves! That's the good news that God has sent into the world. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I have a lot of other scriptures I'd like to read, but look what he says here. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, I've got every place that I run across, Brother Tom, when it says, but God, I got it circled. That means pay attention. He's going to tell you in his grace and his glory and his mercy what he has done. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, dead, separated, enemies, rebellious against God, Christ died for us 2,000 years ago, or better, before I was ever born, you entered this world. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and if there was not another soul in this world, he went there for me. He came to save this sinner, that I know. And he died all those years ago, shed his blood that I might go free. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If he saved me by his grace when I was a filthy, rebellious, wicked enemy against him, and he was that gracious, now what do you expect he's going to do in my life? That now I am a child of God. It's unimaginable. Can only be explained by grace. Can only be explained by the mercy and love of God. I'm going to skip through here. Romans 10. Romans 10. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know how God can do that? Because of what Jesus did for sinners. He can be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Ephesians 2 says this as I close. I just want you to think about the gospel. I want you to think about it because God wants you to think about it. He wants you to remember his great love. He wants you to be faithful. Why? Because he was faithful. Ephesians chapter 2. And you, that's me, Brother Tom. I know that's you, Brother Tom. And you hath he quickened, made alive. He's talking about spiritual now. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That's not just the way we speak, that's the way we live. It includes our speech. Our conversation is how we act out. That's the biblical definition. Conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, depraved nature, sinful nature, by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here it is again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You were dead. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Can't do nothing. What could that thief on that cross do that day, Brother Tom? His hands were nailed. Couldn't do anything with his hands. His feet were nailed. He couldn't go anywhere with his feet. But he professed with his mouth, knowing that Jesus was the King. And he believed in his heart that he could deliver his soul into paradise. And he told him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, there's a difference that needs distinguished. I preached last week in a nursing home at the Cavaliers, that's how it's pronounced. One of their old members is out the nursing home. He sang a special, broke my heart. Oh, he could still sing. Couldn't remember my name, but he could still sing. He got up and sang. And I just want to make sure those folks, a lot of those folks out there love the home. We have 30, 35 of them come out. And I told him, I said, you know, there's a difference that a lot of people today have with their faith. I'm sure a lot of people are deceived. Well, I believe in Jesus. That's an intellectual assent that Jesus exists. You ask people, do you believe in God? Oh, I believe in God. And for some reason, they think that that is salvation. My friend, the devils believe and tremble. There's not a demon that's ever been saved. They all know right here, like many today in their faith know right here. They understand that this mental assent, I believe in God, that's not salvation. I believe in Jesus Christ, that's not salvation. That's not the kind of faith that he's talking about. I don't see your chair, but I can tell you this. Let me try to show you the difference. These steps were constructed to hold you as you come up. They can be used for various things. They're well constructed, I know. I've seen Brother Tom come up and down them a few times pretty quick. You know what? In my mind, I trust, and I know in my mind that these steps will hold you. Anybody here doubt that? But there's a difference between this kind of faith, first time I really believe it. And you know, I can show I really believe it. See there? I've committed myself what I believed in my mind, fully trusting in faith that these steps will do what they were designed to do. It don't matter if you know that Jesus Christ existed or not. It don't matter if you know that he was the Son of God. It doesn't matter if you know that God exists. But do you know and do you trust in your heart? If you committed your heart, surrendering yourself fully, knowing that you cannot save yourself, and fully, fully giving yourself, resting in Christ, in Him alone, to save you from your sins. If we get the glory, and I don't know all about glory, but I don't think Peter's going to be at the gate and all that, you know, mythology. But if there was an answer, if there was an answer that must be given, what gives you to think that you have the right to enter into my paradise, to enter into my glory, to enter into my presence, and to dwell eternally with me? Oh, we will be able to rightly profess Jesus Christ died for my sins. He saved my soul and set me free. He's prepared a place for me in there. And he's brought me here this far. And he will bring me home. Come on in, my child. Welcome home. Jesus and the Father await you. And that for all eternity. Have you placed your faith in Christ? Have you asked God to forgive you of the sins, all your sins, little sins, big sins? The littlest sin there is enough sin to send you to hell. Have you asked God to forgive you of all your sins, knowing, Lord, I can't do anything about it, but I know and believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I am trusting him for my eternity. I know he died for me to save me, Lord. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? That's the gospel. That's the good news, especially to all who believe. I pray that you have, Brother Tom.